Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
Time is finally upon us. That's right, we're back once again. It's the Decibel Geek Podcast. My name is Aaron Camaro, joined as always by my good friend, the ever so weary and tired Chris Sinzak.
I'm not that bad off, but I'm doing good.
You got the rockin' pneumonia and the rockin' Pod Expo blues?
Yeah, pretty much.
I know you've been working your ass off to make this happen, and you know we've had some great announcements these last few weeks. We got some more cool stuff to tell you about here today. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Today we're going to pay homage to one of our very favorite heavy metal bands of all freaking time, the one and only Wasp.
Yeah, 7 years and we've never done a Wasp episode.
And we love Wasp, so I think it's high time that we do.
Yeah, so we thought we would do our personal top five Wasp songs.
Yeah.
These are not us saying these are the best five ever. They're just the best five in our opinion.
I hate these shows because they're so freaking difficult. You know, you can't, these are definitely personal favorites because there's no way to name a definitive top five Wasp songs that is going to go undisputed.
Oh, there's going to be some disputing going on, especially with some of my picks.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get to that. But before we do, we got to take care of business. The favorite way to start the show, of course, you know what it is. Some five-star reviews. And we got some right here. We like to get them on iTunes. We like to get them on Facebook. And we've got a couple of awesome ones right here. The first one's, this one's on iTunes, and it's entitled Vinny. I like that. All right, 5 stars. Great interview with Vinnie Vincent. I started listening last month after listening to Talk To Me recently. That's our buddy. Anyone into rock music should check these guys out. Awesome. Short,
so
sweet,
much.
To the point. We got our name mentioned right next to Josh Toomey. You know, that's always a good thing.
And just hearing the words, great interview with Vinnie Vincent, still feels surreal.
Yep, and that comes to us from Sinner O, from right here in the USA. Got a Facebook review, too. This one comes to us from Jason K. Herman, and it's 5 stars. I stumbled upon this podcast a while back and then kept seeing it mentioned in friends' feeds when I was coming down to do the Rare Hair shows. Most recently, I scrolled down to the top 5 Enough's Enough songs episode on my way to Chicago when I was actually going to do a show with Chip. It was a weird coincidence. Since then, I am catching up on the back catalog of episodes. Yesterday, I wrapped up the One and Done, episode 261.
That was a good one.
And to hear Slammin' Gladys, Pariah, Heavy Bones, and LSD in one episode, I was shocked. So cool. However, one note, as I'm a geek as well, your love of Enough's Enough and mentioning them and LSD in the same sentence, I would have thought you would have mentioned one Alex Kane, who was originally in Enough's Enough. I'm sure you've mentioned it since, but regardless, such a killer show. Absolutely love it. Keep going, lads.
Thanks
That's
so
a good
much.
One.
That Jason comes
us
from,
yeah, Jason. Good stuff right there. I like that a lot.
And Alex Kane is his. He's notable in Chicago rock history for sure, especially
for
those two bands.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's still out there doing it. He lives in L.A. and actually, a friend of ours' podcast, Izzy Presley, has a show called Another Fucking Podcast.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And he had a great episode with a friend of the show, Rick Fox, and also Earl Skakel was on the show, and Alex Kane was on the show.
Oh, right.
So
on.
It's really funny to listen to those four talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great
Check
episode.
That out.
I'd love to get Alex on the show sometime.
That'd be very cool.
I want to get Stanley on the show sometime.
Yeah, we really want to do an LSD.
Albums Unleashed,
for sure. We've talked about that forever.
Every song's a winner on that album.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And so few people know about that band.
Yeah. All right, and then our other favorite people, Geeks of the Week. These are the people that shared on Facebook, retweeted on Twitter. Last week's New Noise Volume 2, which, of course, had the big announcement that Vinnie Vincent is going to be at the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo. Geeks of the Week this week are, this is a funny one to start with, Gimme a Head with Hair. Fargo Strut shared it.
Right on.
Mark Alden Taylor, Freeform Rock Podcast, Growing Up Rock Podcast, Todd Cunningham, Mike Tyler, Matt Ashcraft, Billy Eckerson, Brad Schick, Chuck Noseworthy, Joseph Capone, The Plug with Bushy and the Mountain Man, James McElhenney, Victor Ruiz, Wayne Cross, Rock and Run Runyon, Bill Elam, Adam Cox, Mikhail Burrell, Chris McDowell, Aaron Baker, Greg Troyan, Andrew Jacobs, Sit and Spin with Joe, The Pods and Sods Network, Lee McCormick, Alan Tate, Joe Beck, Save Rock and Metal, Christopher Stokes, Ernesto Aguiar, Jay Shabluski, Jeff Mendenhall, Billy Hardcore, JJ Mack, Eladio, Popcast, Huckleberry Quick, and of course,
the Mooger Fooger. He's back.
Yes.
All right, those are our people, our favorite people, our geeks of the week, the people that get out there and they share it and they retweet it, all that good stuff. Help us get the word out about what we're doing here on Decibel Geek. And if you love Wasp like we love Wasp, go ahead and share this episode, yeah, and you can become an honorary geek of the week next week.
That's right.
That's how it goes.
So we ready to get into some Wasp?
You know it, man. Anytime is a good time to get into Wasp. And I got into Wasp when I was pretty young, and everybody knows my beloved and legendary Uncle Bruce. Uncle Bruce had all the Wasp albums. And when I was a kid, like I've said a million times, I'd do whatever kind of chores I could do around the house to get my $5 allowance. And I would take that money and divvy it up between comic books, wrestling magazines, candy, whatever, and going over to Uncle Bruce's and giving him a dollar a piece for his albums out of his collection. And, of course, originally it's Kiss. It's all Kiss. Nothing but Kiss. Nothing in the world exists to me outside of Kiss. It's Kiss and Kiss only. But once it came time to start perusing the rest of his albums, the next ones to go were Ozzy. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I got to kind of look around because I really don't know a whole lot about these other bands. So I'm really judging them by their covers. So the third band that I really got into after Kiss and after Ozzy was Wasp. And it only took me one look at that first album cover to go, oh yeah, this is going to fall in line with what I like. They reminded me of Kiss.
Sure.
You know, in that theatrical kind of way, but almost scarier, like an evil version of Kiss.
Heavily
like,
influenced by
or
Kiss.
Or like Kiss and Satan had some sort of sexual orgy and that's what was the result of it or something like that, you know, and I was blown away by how they looked, you know. And,
yeah.
And the songs, man. Once I got that album home and put it on the turntable and listened to those songs over and over and over again, man, I was hooked from the very beginning. And one thing I always liked about Wasp and always loved about Blackie Lawless's songwriting is a lot of the same things I liked about a lot of Kiss songs was the inspirationalness of it.
Yeah.
Being a young kid in central Wisconsin, far away from Hollywood or the Sunset Strip, just seemed like about as far away as you could get from that.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of song gave you hope that maybe someday you could be something awesome like you see on the MTV and like you see on these album covers. This song always spoke to me, and it is absolutely one of my all-time favorite Wasp songs from 1984, self-titled debut. Man, you gotta love this one. Crank it up real loud. It's I Wanna Be Somebody.
Yeah.
Let me do a quick warning on my picks. Aaron got his picks in first, and of course his picks are and a number of them are from the earlier Wasp material, which I love. God, you could have picked five songs off the first
easily.
Album.
I mean, L.O.V.E. Machine, The Flame, Hellion, and Sleeping in the Fire.
Yeah.
The Torture Never Stops, Tormentor. I mean, it's all good.
Well, so my picks are basically, I made it a challenge to pick stuff not on those records.
Yeah.
But I like stuff from their entire catalog.
I was going to say, you picked five songs off of Kill, Fuck, Die.
No, I picked nothing off that fucking album. That album I hate. Let's not talk about that album.
I wanted so bad to like it when it was new.
Me too. And I hated it.
Yeah, me too.
That was the one I was excited for, and then when it came in, like, what the fuck are they doing? But no, Wasp is one of the more unique bands from the 80s. Because, like, I don't know, like, a lot of the bands were going the glammy route, and like, we're going to be soft, and we're going to appeal to the girls, not Wasp.
Well, and I always think about it like this, too. You know, you think about, like, the forefathers of that L.A. scene were kind of really two bands was Quiet Riot and Wasp, and Quiet Riot was the one that took the popular route, you know, and did a bunch of Slade covers and Americanized them and got it on MTV, and Wasp was maybe just as popular in LA, but when it came to the worldwide scene, these guys were a whole lot raunchier and went in the opposite, the darker direction than what Quiet Riot was doing. But I think in a lot of ways, those two bands are kind of like the forefathers of the Sunset Strip.
Well, with the crew.
I mean,
I mean, they were all kind of the basis for a lot of what took off. But they had that theatrical element where, you know, there were some bands moving away from it. Like, that's Kiss, that's old hat.
Right.
But Wasp, they took what Kiss were doing, they ramped it up. I mean, they would throw fucking raw meat out to the crowd.
Yeah, you take a little Alice Cooper, you take a little Kiss, you know, maybe throw in some Iggy Pop with some weird stuff. And you, like say, throwing meat at the audience and torturing women on stage.
Buzzsaw codpiece.
Yeah, how cool is that?
You know, flaming logo behind them. And our friend Gregory Muse, who is a VIP and also, you know, went to a lot of those early shows. You know, his stories are just awesome, you know. And if you ever haven't heard the Sunset Strip Memories episode, that's a good one to
really
hear some great early Wasp stories. But and like you were talking about with I Want to Be Somebody, they were kind of, it was a Kiss blueprint of Queen's going to write about We Will Rock You.
Yeah.
And Twisted Sister, We're Not Going to Take It. But Kiss and Wasp with the songs about the I, about I, and what is more personal. So it would reach more of the outsider crowd, you know. And
that
were,
it did.
They were great at doing that.
Yeah.
So for
because they were,
yeah,
you know, and they knew how it felt, you know. And so to translate to some young kid in the middle of nowhere dreaming of, you know, having rock and roll dreams, it speaks to you. It tells you, you know, there is some reality to this.
Yeah. And so for my first pick, though, I'm going to go all the way to 2002. And they did an album called Dying for the World.
Yeah.
This was the 10th album produced by Blackie Lawless, written and recorded in less than a year, which is pretty fast by Wasp standards,
because
it would take a lot of time to do the albums. This album was dedicated to the people that died in 9/11. That's basically what the album, the subject matter of most of the album is about that. The lineup on this album was Blackie, Daryl Roberts on guitar, Mike Duda on bass, and Frankie Vinali on the drums. And this is one of those where a lot of their albums I can pick multiple songs where I'm like, well, this could be a pick, this could be a pick. This is my absolute favorite song from Dying for the World. This is a song called Shadow Man.
disagree with that. That's my favorite song on that album, too. And it's a great album all around. You know, that was a kind of a return to form for Wasp, which, you know, that's the good stuff to me. That's the stuff I really, really like. And that takes me to my second pick. So I guess we go all the way back to 1985 to The Last Command.
Awesome record.
Oh, man. If I had a dollar for every time I spun this album growing up.
Yeah.
I mean, I got that first Wasp album and was like, this is it, man. Mm-hmm. This is some good stuff. And then went right back that next week and got the next album in line, which was The Last Command. I think sometimes looking back on life, it was like I never had to have the sex talk with my parents because I listened to Wasp albums.
It taught you everything you needed to know.
Like everything
right?
I needed to know, I learned from Kiss, Wasp, and Motley Crue.
Interesting mentors.
It's no wonder I turned out so demented. But, man, this album is damn near perfect. I mean, there's not really a bad song on the whole thing. It's so hard to pick one. For me, I just remember being a kid and hearing the song Jack Action and how it would – it's a story song, you know, and so it kind of puts a movie in your head. I remember being a young kid wearing the headphones in my room listening to the album. These songs that were really good, that really spoke to me, would invoke movies in my mind.
Right.
Like, it would create videos to go along with the songs before you there, even if there wasn't a video for that song, because there was no video for Jack Action. But, man, what a great song to have a great video for. But out of a whole album that is just so amazing and so good and so pure and so perfect, The Last Command, it's hard to pick just one, but that's the one I'm going to go with because, man, as a young kid, it wasn't just that you could hear the song, is that you could see it too.
Yeah.
So here's something for your eyes and your ears to enjoy. Wrap your mind around this one. It's Wasp with Jack Action.
Come on, babe, today with a gun.
Could have been a Johnny Cash song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like in the, how cool would that have been like in that, in those days in the early 2000s when Johnny Cash was doing covers of like Rusty Cage and stuff like that.
Cover.
Have Johnny Cash do a version, like a country, his version style of Jack Action, I think would be just killer.
Yeah, I'm picturing Johnny Cash with a spiked cod piece.
Uh-huh. That's yeah. That's chainsaw blade image. Coming yeah. out of his crotch.
Yeah, that's a strange image.
But it works.
I walk the line and I throw meat.
Yeah. One of my favorite albums of all time. I mean, the title track, Sex Tribe, is an awesome yeah. song. Of course, that's the one that's got Blind in Texas on it. That
yeah,
may be
Blind
their
in Texas is
most
awesome.
Recognizable song.
Yeah, great video, too.
If we were talking about like the technical top five Wasp songs, I think almost everybody would put Blind in Texas
oh, sure.
right up at the top.
Yeah, it's got hooks for days. It's, yeah. it's perfect for the time.
And Widowmaker, Ball Crusher, I mean...
Yeah.
Golly, some of these songs, and looking back, like Sex Drive, I think about that, and it's like, I didn't know nothing about sex when I was listening to these albums, but really, honestly, this is where I learned about sex. It's so strange looking back on it like
well,
that.
And if you're not familiar with the early Wasp material, go through our Amazon link and buy that stuff, because the especially the first three, four albums are worth owning the whole record.
You right,
know, you
yeah.
don't even need a cherry pick. They're all good.
And if you have teenage children and you're feeling uncomfortable about
yeah,
having that, that important talk with them, there you go. Just buy them The Last Command and be like, you know,
oh,
here's a song called Sex Drive, and you know, here's the lyrics, and I think you'll find that it speaks to you, and you'll kind of understand those feelings you're having down there.
Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask by Dr. Blackie Lawler.
You might learn something.
Oh, boy.
Something you didn't know about yourself.
All right. So I'm going to go, we're going to fast forward again to 2001 and the Unholy Terror record that came out. This was the ninth studio album produced by Blackie Lawless. The subject matter of this album deals basically with the world and all its vices. It's there's a lot of deep stuff on the lyrical part of this album. The lineup on this one is Blackie, Chris Holmes, Mike Duda, Frankie Benali, and Stead Hallen splitting the drum duties, and Roy Z on guitar on a couple of tracks.
Wow.
This album has a lot of great material, but this also was a clear... This one, even if I'm picking the first few albums, this could have made my top five.
Yeah?
This song has Frankie on the drums, and it's a killer track called Charisma.
Seven cents, vanity and the lust of men. I'm
Not about sex, but
it's not about sex. You know, Blackie doesn't have to just sing about sex.
Yeah.
He's good at it. You know, when you're good at something like that, maybe you should do it. But, you know, it doesn't always have to be about sex. And that's the cool thing about Wasp, because, you know, in a time where that was the thing to do, was to sing sexy songs, and damn it, Blackie Lawless can write some sexy ass songs. There ain't no doubt about that. But this guy can branch out and, you know, come up with all kinds of different stuff, you know, and mm-hmm. his partnership with Chris Holmes in songwriting brought out a lot of great tunes. And that brings me to my next pick, back to 1986. Since I cheated and got my picks in first, I got all the really good stuff, the classic Inside the Electric Circus.
This may be my favorite Wasp album.
It's so good. It is so good because, again, same story. Went with my dollar, bought the debut album from Uncle Bruce because he said, well, if you're going to get into Wasp, you might as well get the first one first and then the second one. And a week later, I'm back with another dollar and I'm here for Inside the Electric Circus. And, you know, what like a three-week journey.
Yeah.
Of learning about new music, because like I said, it was only Kiss and Ozzy. That was all I really knew about. You know, I wasn't even really into Poison yet at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm still learning about like the old bands and trying to figure out what I like and what's cool. And I'm basically going by the album covers. But at this point with Wasp, it was all about the music. Like, yeah. I couldn't wait to go back and get the next album to hear what else this band could do. And yeah, it's hard to deny that this isn't their best album, because I think it pretty much is, because there's not a bad song on this one either. I mean, we could do so many albums unleashed on just about any Wasp album, and it's going to be at least 99% all good songs, and I do believe this one's 100%. It's got so many great songs. Inside the Electric Circus, the title track's yeah. awesome. Their cover of I Don't Need No Doctor is amazing. 9-5 Nasty has always been one of my favorite songs. That's a sexy-ass song right there. Shoot from the Hip. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many good songs. It's damn hard to pick one. They even do a kick-ass cover of Easy Living by Uriah Heep.
Yeah, and I don't even like the original, but I like their version.
Oh, their version is so good. Whew, it's hard to pick one, but here's one I'm going to go with. Blackie wrote this one by himself. It's an amazing song. I love it. You can go with anything off of this one, but I'm going to go with I'm Alive.
Just leave me. Stage explodes. Kiss, February 9th, coming live to Cellon Arena. Avalon presents the Kiss Spectacle. If it's too loud, you're too old, Kiss. Welcomes rock and roll's bad boys. Kiss back with an audio show.
What a rock and roll.
Special guest was. Tickets on sale now at your arena box office and all usual outlets. February 9th, live at Cellon Arena. The spectacle of Kiss.
For Dr. Pepper, here's Y&T.
Before we figure out which songs are making up the rest of our top five Wasp songs here today on the Decibel Geek Podcast, got to take a moment to let you guys know about some cool stuff going on. Have you heard about this? It's called the Rockin' Pod Expo 2.
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah? I wonder if anybody's heard about this, because there's some cool stuff going on right now. We've announced Brian Head Welch from Korn. He's going to be there. Our good friend Michael Wagner is going to be back. It's going to be awesome to see him there. Toby Wright, who was just on the show with us a couple weeks ago, he's going to be there. Of course, the one and only Vinnie Vincent's going to be there. That's a pretty big deal. I know the people up in Indianapolis were really excited about that. I know the guys were up there spreading the word. There's so many great podcasts involved in this. You know, we talk about the rock stars and everybody else that's involved in this thing all the time, but I think it's a good thing to really shine the light on what this is really truly all about. And it's the podcasts. It's guys like us that are doing these rock shows that are helping keep this style of music alive, you know, to keep it relevant. I know between all of us that are appearing at this expo, we've got a shit ton of listeners. You know, a lot of people that listen to all of our shows, some people that, you know, listen here and there to other ones. But, man, you know, when I'm looking at the group and I see that there's a bunch of podcasters out there that are having a hard time, their hearts are broken, because we're all talking about, you know, raising the funds for Rockin' Pod 2, you know. And man, it wasn't that long ago, and I'm looking at that conversation and I see people that I love and respect, you know, as podcasters, talking about how difficult it is to get people, listeners, to respond to something like this, you know, when we're calling out for help, you know, when we're asking people to donate, you know. And it hurt my feelings to see these guys feeling like nobody's really responding to it. Now, I know a lot of people already have, and, you know, man, do we appreciate those people so much. But there's still a whole lot of you out there that haven't contributed yet and are probably longtime listeners of this show and many other ones that are going to be at the expo. And again, you know, help us out. You know, it's kind of saddening because I know these guys, just like us, they work their asses off to put these shows together for you, and it's not always easy. I mean, believe it or not, it's not easy what we do. Sure, we probably make it seem easy, but that's because you're getting the final product. There's a lot that goes into the whole process before it becomes what you guys get and enjoy for free every single week.
Yeah.
So, you know, help us out because... not just speaking for ourselves, but for all the other guys that work their asses off to bring you their shows, man, it's worth it to you, I would think.
You know, get a lot of free entertainment out of these shows. So.
Free entertainment and a lot of rock and roll love, and we're the ones out there that are supporting your favorite bands that are still talking about your favorite bands. You know, if your local rock station called you and said, hey, give us some money, you'd be like, screw you. You guys don't ever play my favorite bands. But... this is us we're talking about, you know, so we're always going to cover your favorite bands because your favorite bands are our favorite bands, you know, and that's what it's all about. So to take podcasting to that next level to where not only does podcasting become relevant, but the music that we're fighting for, because that's what we've done. You know, you're just like us. We've always fought for this music. When other people have told us, ah, that stuff's dead and gone, we said, oh, hell no, it's not. Heavy metal, hard rock, it's never going to die. And you know what? It never will. As long as there's people like us and people like you that are always going to support it, it'll never die. But how about not keeping it on life support, but letting it flourish, you know, bringing it back to its former glory? Who's going to do that? Who's got the power to make hard rock and classic metal freaking relevant again? It's the podcasters. We're the ones that carry the flag of hard rock and metal. You guys are proud of us for doing that. To help us get to that next level, we got to make sure Rock and Pod 2 is a big freaking deal and people start recognizing what we're doing here. And so once they recognize what we're doing, then they say, okay, there's something more going on here. There's so much passion for this music that, yeah, on a worldwide whole, they're no Britney Spears or they're no, well, that's dated. They're no Taylor Swift, I guess. You know, I don't know. I'm bad at references.
You don't know who's hip now.
I don't, I'm bad at hipness.
Because we listen to podcasts. Don't have to listen to that.
We listen to podcasts. We listen to hard rock. We listen to metal. And that's what it's all about. Please help us help your favorite bands by making us more relevant so we can pull them right back in with us. Does that make sense?
It does to me.
Okay, it makes sense to me too. So please help us do that, whether it's us, whether it's the multitude of other podcasts. You know, you don't... we like to say, you know, you want to come on the show with us, it's $100.
Yep.
It goes towards the expo. We're going to be doing one of those in about a week, and I'm really, really looking forward to it with a good friend of ours that's been on the show before and has been amazing. You guys are going to love it. We're going to love it. He's going to love it. The people at the Rock and Pod Expo, too, are going to love it. And so it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
If you don't want to come on the show, kick us $10.
Yeah. And if you like, so essentially, if you can't make it to Nashville, but you believe in what we're doing and you want to see it succeed, just go to GoFundMe.com/RockinPod2018. Make the donation there. If you do want to come to Nashville and actually get a ticket, go to rockinpod.eventbrite.com, and there'll be links in the show notes for this. And you can just get your general admission ticket. $10 gets you in the door.
Right.
$10 gets you a chance to meet like 99% of the guests.
Right.
Obviously, Vinny's going to charge extra for that. But you will get to see Vinny on stage talk to us about the making of the Lick It Up album for $10.
Yeah, because so basically for $10, if it was only Vinny, Chris, and myself and a stage and some chairs around that stage, wouldn't you pay $10 just to see that? Albums Unleashed, Lick It Up, live?
Yeah. It's going to be great.
But that's such a small part of it. It's a cool part of it, but it's a small part of it because there's so much else going on to go along with it.
And there's more guests to be announced. There's some seriously big surprises I'm about to finalize.
Yeah.
And
that August 25th weekend isn't that far away.
No.
And it's not that close either, so that you can still figure out how you can get some vacation time going.
It's worth coming.
Because... yeah, it's cool. We ask you guys for donations. We know everybody can't make it, but man, would we love to see you here. to be a part of it, to witness it, to know what we're talking about, so that next year, if you can't make it, you'll say, man, that was so awesome. I want to see it happen again. Because I think it's easy for the people that came last year to see what a big deal it is and how much more it can grow and what a statement it really is for hard rock and metal music, you know, to say there is something important here and there are people that still give a damn about it and there are a lot of people that still give a damn about it. Damn it.
Yeah.
So,
and we're limited on space in the venue. So if you're on the fence about coming to this thing, you want to get your ticket soon because I have a pretty strong feeling it's going to sell out.
I mean, shit, Vinny Vincent's going
to
be there.
Yeah, that's putting us over the top. But then we also have other guests to be announced. And if this pre-party concert that I'm working on pans out the way I have it planned, you're not going to want to miss that.
Let me tell them.
No.
Oh, man.
We're not.
Oh,
God, we got to go through this again?
I wish I could tell you guys. I know I can't because it's not 100% finalized.
Still working
but
on things.
Holy shit, you guys.
You're going to like it.
The pre-party concert last year was amazing. This is going to be no exception this year because what Chris has got conjured up in his metal mind is going to blow your mind, and you're not going to want to miss it. So get your tickets for Rock and Pod Expo now because you're going to definitely want to be in town that weekend once the concert's announced because it's
and there's even something that's about to be announced for the night after. It's going to be a three-day extravaganza.
That's right. So,
you aren't going to want to miss this. I'm serious.
So if you are planning on coming to town, please let me tell you, you're going to want to make the whole weekend of it. You're going to want to be there on Friday night. You're going to want to be there on Sunday as well. And, of course, you got to be there on Saturday for Rock and Pod Expo.
Yeah.
But, it's going to be a whole weekend of rock and roll fun partying in Music City, and we want you guys to be a part of it. So I don't know what else you could have for incentive to want to help us out, but wait, Chris Sinzak has some incentive.
I do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a matter of a signed guitar, and I'm not talking about one signature.
No.
I'm not talking about five signatures.
No.
I'm talking about, 25, 30 signatures on this thing?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so last weekend was the Indianapolis Kiss Expo. And there were a handful of the podcasts that will be at Rockin' Pod that were also at the expo. Julie and Gil from Kiss FAQ was there. Ages of Rock was there. Podcast Rock City and Growing Up Rock were all there. And all those guys were so cool. And Julie and Gil bought a guitar in Indianapolis. And then all the shows took turns taking it around to every single guest at the expo and got, I'm going to say 99% of the guests to sign it, including Ace Frehley.
Right.
Including Bruce Kulick.
Yeah.
Including Bob Kulick.
Especially Bob Kulick.
A big Bob Kulick signature.
Big Bob.
Kerry Stevens, Robert Fleischman, Bobby Rock. All of Fraley's Comet signed it.
Nice.
Including Anton Figg, John Regan, Todd Howarth, Ace Frehley. The whole band signed it.
Official Fraley's Comet guitar plus some.
Also, members of 4x8, Pat Gasparini, and Rob Afuso, who was also in Skid Row.
Oh, nice.
He signed it.
Right on.
Christopher Williams from Accept signed it.
Yeah.
Jeremy Asbrock from Gene Simmons Band signed it.
Nice.
I'm losing track of everybody, but a lot of fucking people signed it, and you can get a shot. There's only 300 spots open in this raffle, and they're $10 spots.
So you best hurry up and get yourself in on this raffle.
It's going to fill up fast.
Like you say, there's only 300 tickets. We could open it up to 3,000 tickets and made it a month-long thing.
But I want this to have good
odds. We want
your
odds to be good. So we cut it off at 300.
Yep.
When they're gone, they're gone. Mm-hmm. Somebody's walking away with this beautiful, one-of-a-kind, multiply autographed by some of the greatest people in rock and history.
Yep.
Have signed this guitar, it could be yours.
Also, Michael James Jackson, who produced Creatures of the Night and Lick It Up, signed it.
Nice.
Craig Gass, the comedian, signed it.
Oh, right on.
A shit ton of people. You know, it's amazing. And I'm going to hate having to ship it away from my house because I keep looking at it. But once those 300 spots are filled up, Aaron and I will go on Facebook Live. You'll have to endure looking at us on camera. But we will have all the names in the hat, and we will pull the name out. And we will announce who wins the guitar. So $10 gives you a 1 in 300 chance of winning. That's way better odds than a scratcher ticket.
Or you can just go buy 300 tickets and we'll just ship it to you.
Sure. Go ahead. If you want to guarantee
you
win it, yeah.
So we don't have to cut up everybody's names and the little things.
No,
and put
we
them
actually
the top
had a brisk first day of sales today,
right
as of when we recorded
this. Well, see,
this, so
there you go. Your odds are going down as you
better,
wait now. So
you better hurry up. But yeah, buy multiple tickets so you can increase your odds. You have a good shot at winning this guitar, and who the fuck wouldn't want to win that?
Yeah, no kidding. That's awesome.
Yeah. So go to rockandpod.eventbrite.com. Of course, there'll be a link in the show notes. and enter. Go to the it's called the Kistery Guitar.
Right on.
Yep.
And take a look at the list of the names of the podcasts that are going to be at Rockin' Pod Expo, too. And please show them some love and support as
Donate some money, guys.
Yeah, help us out.
All right.
Speaking of people that love to help us out and also do shopping, we've got our Amazon list. You guys know how this works. You do your shopping on Amazon? Yeah, you do. Well, why not take a moment, go over to decibelgeek.com first, because what you're going to find there is all kinds of amazing articles written by just kick-ass rock and roll journalists from all over the world. They're like the Avengers of rock and roll journalism. They combine their powers and bring it all together at decibelgeek.com. Once you're done checking out all the amazing things you can find there, scroll back on up to the top of the page. You're going to see our Amazon banner. You click on it. It takes you to Amazon. You do all your shopping just like you normally do. But because you came to us first, once you're done, you don't pay a penny more. But Amazon takes a cut of that action, kicks it on over to us. It helps us out a lot. And it also gives us the list.
Yeah, we got a list of everything you buy and some of the more notable purchases from the past week on Amazon. Personic high power rechargeable electric sonic toothbrush with 12 brush heads. What do you need 12 brush heads for? Wow. An IXCC 10 foot extra long micro USB cable, a RAM mount 1-inch diameter ball mount with round base.
That's cool.
What's a ball mount?
You know, like you haul a trailer with behind your truck.
Sorry, my mind was in the gutter there.
it's this thing that holds your nuts
holds
up
your,
for
holds
you.
Your balls in place. A Carnifex Men's Death Metal 2017 T-shirt. Black, of course.
Of course.
Planar 24-inch widescreen LED LCD monitor.
See, it can be anything.
A Blu-ray called Mad to Be Normal. I don't know what that is. An AC power adapter charger for an HP notebook. Some Betron BS-10 headphones, Funko Pop Movies, Jurassic Park Tyrannosaurus collectible figure. Those Funko Pop things are popular.
Yeah, for sure.
There was an Alice Cooper one that got put out recently. It looks really cool.
Oh, right on.
Sunjoe electric pole chainsaw with adjustable head. Thank you, Jesse James Dupree, for shopping through our link. Stone Sour Hydrograd was bought. Warrant's Dog Eat Dog, Hart's Bad Animals, and Double Shot of Striper with Fallen and No More Hell to Pay were bought.
Can't go wrong with any of those albums.
Yep, and that's our Amazon list for the week.
All right, awesome. You guys do your shopping on Amazon? I know you do. Do it through our link. It helps us out.
Yep.
Get yourself a Decibel Geek t-shirt. That helps too. Doesn't just help us. Helps you get laid.
That's right.
Works every time. Sexier than a Wasp song.
You look 20 pounds lighter when you wear it.
Oh, absolutely. At least.
All right, so let's get back to the music.
And helps with Rockin' Pod, too.
Please
okay,
do.
Let's get back to the music.
Okay, so here's my most divisive pick of the episode.
Uh-oh.
As you know, I enjoy ballads. I enjoy power ballads.
That's something we all know about you quite a bit.
It's my estrogen streak, I'm sorry. I've always liked ballads, and I'm going to play something from The Crimson Idol from 1993, the fifth studio album, produced by Blackie Lawless. It was a concept album telling the story of the rise and fall of fictional rock star Jonathan Steele. And this year, Napalm Records released a re-recording of the album, along with a DVD of a film that was originally supposed to accompany the album under the title of Re-Idolize, the soundtrack to The Crimson Idol.
I watched some of that, man.
Did
it's
you?
A trip.
I haven't watched the movie, but I enjoyed some of the re-recordings. I know some people really didn't enjoy it, but I personally liked it.
Yeah, me too.
And I normally don't like concept albums. I'm not one of the people that typically gets into them, but I've always liked The Crimson Idol.
Yeah.
And this is my favorite Wasp ballad, because there are some great ones. It's a song called Hold On to My Heart. There's a flame in my heart. And there's no rain can put it out. And there's a flame. Burning in my heart. And
don't seem right.
Give me the tissue. I'm sorry. I think it's a great song. I always have.
Here's the thing that I've noticed about Wasp. And, you know, Blackie has had a long, successful career with a lot of ups and downs to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Blackie is so freaking artistic that Wasp almost becomes a box that's too small to contain him sometimes.
Well, he's pushed the envelope a few times.
But without the Wasp box to be in, people don't seem to really, you know, it's like, I don't know if releasing a Blackie Lawless solo album would ever do anything, you know, or if it would have helped or hurt any of these albums that were in this era where things weren't as good as the early days of Wasp, you know, where he's not doing a whole lot of stuff like Sex Drive or Sweet Cheetah or,
you know,
9-5 Nasty or things like that. You know, Blackie grows over time in his career almost beyond the constraints of what Wasp is and what people expect Wasp to be. And so I can see how some people are, like, Wasp fans are divisive on a lot of things.
Oh, sure.
Because there's so many different aspects to what Blackie does that people pick up, I like this about it, or I like when he does that, or, man, no, only the first album, or, oh, man, you know, only, you know, Inside the Electric Circus, you know, and there's so many different...
I know people that love the first album that think they sold out with Inside the Electric Circus.
Yeah, totally.
It's too slick.
Yeah.
But even, I like that
even
album.
There's a big difference between the first album and Last Command, just like there's
there
a big
is.
Difference between Last Command and
yeah,
Inside
no two
the Electric
albums
Circus.
Are,
the, you know?
Are similar. Yeah.
And you, exactly, you go right down the discography like that, and every album is different than the one before it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't ever get sister albums with Wasp.
Not really.
Unless it's intentional, like the Neon God thing.
Well, yeah, that's well, yeah, he meant to do that.
Right.
But I don't know. But with ballads, like, they've done a handful of ballads. And I don't know. I always thought, like, you know, they're always known for the stage show and the giant mic stand and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But his voice, he's a damn good singer.
Yeah,
and his name never comes up in conversation with, like, some of the better rock singers from the 80s. But he was up there.
Yeah, look at a song like that, like what you just played.
It's a great vocal performance.
There's so much passion and power in his vocals in that song that, you know, you think about that, you listen to it and go, golly, you know, like you say, people don't really think about Blackie Lawless on that, you know, who's the greatest singer, you know, they don't put him up there, Bruce Dickinson or Rob Helfer.
Well, I don't know if I'd even put him up there,
you know, but he's
up there.
But he's up there, because he's got that power in his voice and stuff, and so to take him in a song like Blind in Texas, well, you know, that shit's pretty hard to sing.
Yeah.
But to take it in a song like this, where it really kind of showcases a totally different side. It's not that powerful, in-your-face, heavy metal, kind of Blackie Lawless style. And one thing Blackie has is the uniqueness of his voice. Nobody sounds like Blackie Lawless, and Lawless doesn't sound like anybody else.
Right.
Yeah. You're right.
A one-of-a-kind singer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so
deserves more credit for his voice.
I know I'm going to get shit for that pick, but that's fine.
I mean, you know, it's a showcase song for sure because, like you said, it shows a totally different side.
Yeah,
and,
I've liked
and
that
how
song
good
since,
that other side can be.
I've liked it since 1993, and I still remember repulsing some of my friends at the time playing that song. But why the fuck are you playing this?
Right on.
Same friends that wanted me to play Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, and whatnot.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You're gonna listen to Wasp, really? I was still hanging on to the old bands.
Yeah,
at the time.
Me too. That was tough. And that kind of brings me to my next pick, which came out in 1989. And this was an album that I kind of felt like was my first Wasp album because I'd been listening to the old stuff off my Uncle Bruce. But when The Headless Children came out, I was old enough to buy music at that point. So this was like my Wasp album. And man, was I excited when it came out. Still love it to this day. It's to me, it doesn't stand up quite as much as those first three albums. Definitely doesn't stand up to Inside the Electric Circus, but there's some damn good songs on here nonetheless. And one of my all-time favorite Wasp songs is on this album, and that song is just a kick-ass hard rocker, just the way I like my Wasp. This one's called Mean Man. We'll be right back. man. That's got to be probably maybe right up there. I'm going to talk about top five. I mean, it is. It's earned its place. I don't know if it's any higher than two, but it's... I love that song so much. That's a fighting song.
Well, it reminds me of one of my favorite discussions on the Metal Sludge Gossip Board because, you know, the song's written about Chris Holmes.
Yeah, right.
And, like, the guys questioned everybody. It was like... This song sticks out like a sore thumb on this album because, like, the whole album is about all these deep, dark lyrical subjects, but here's this one song about Chris Holmes, and he's a mean motherfucking man.
Yeah,
it's
like, see, what? And I think that's why I like the song so much, because it reminded me of what I liked about Wasp. And right. The Headless Children, again, you know, every album in the line is different. This one was way different than the album before it.
Yeah.
You know, and... To me, I'm still a bigger fan of Inside the Electric Circus, but like I said, this one's always going to be special to me because this was like my first Wasp album. Even though I'd been listening to the other stuff, this was the first one that I could go out and get on my own.
Yeah.
And so it always will hold that special spot, and it was different and it was kind of weird, but that song was the one that always stood out to me because it was the Wasp that brought me to the table.
Yeah, it sounds like a classic song. Yeah. But it's also interesting because Holmes was on his way out of the band at that time. Like, they were not getting along.
He was too mean.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I don't know. I've heard Blackie's pretty mean, too.
Yeah.
But my next pick is also from the Headless Children, so I'll piggyback right on here with you. Four studio album produced by Blackie Lawless.
Yeah.
Reached number 48 on Billboard as their band's highest chart position. And, the album cover is really cool. It's based on a cartoon called Gateway to Stalingrad by Daniel Fitzpatrick.
That's a scary-ass album cover.
It depicts a string of historical figures, including Stalin, Hitler, Himmler, Mussolini, Manson, Jim Jones, Al Capone, and KKK members.
Yeah, I think that was, like, one of the first albums that, like, on CD or cassette. I think I had that on CD.
Yeah.
I brought it back, and my mom looked at it and was just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, it's a disturbing cover.
What is this?
And
my same answer as always, been listening to Uncle Bruce albums all this time, too late to stop me now.
And I remember, well, I have a family connection to this album, too, because when the video for the Real Me cover of the Who song was on MTV, my dad was a big fan of the Who.
Yeah.
And the video was on one day, and he walked in, and he was like, that's the worst version of that song I've ever heard. Like,
I am disgusted.
He hated it. He was just like, oh, man, they're trying to be the Who? Give me a break. I liked it, though.
They weren't trying to be the Who. They were just trying to be Wasp doing a Who song.
But for my pick off of
that... But I could see how a classic Who fan would be like, fuck that.
Yeah, he was not amused. But for my pick from the Headless Children, I'm going to go with the powerful track Thunderhead.
Nice. that's another great one off that album. That's a good heavy chugger, too.
Yeah, I love that song. It's really cool.
Good stuff, man. We've played a lot of great music so far today.
Yeah, if you're not a Wasp fan after this, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, man, you're doing something wrong.
That Hold On To My Heart should have converted you.
Well, if you didn't like nothing I picked, then at least you had that.
It'll convert your mother, at least.
All right, so then I guess this is going to be my last pick. And this one, again, just for personal reasons, because I had the CD single. I remember always going to Intersleeve Records in Wausau, Wisconsin, you know, my favorite record store when I was a kid, and just looking in the cheap CDs, you know, because you'd always have, like, a spot where the cheap shit was, and you could find, like, singles and stuff in there. And the single for Sunset and Babylon was there. And, man, this song always kind of spoke to me. It's also kind of a story. Kind of a song, but it's the story of Wasp and, you know, what it was like to be a part of the Strip. And, you know, and granted, by this time, that stuff's all kind of played out now. We're talking 93.
Right.
It's starting to go away, you know, so this is almost like a retrospective of what it was like.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like a funeral song, like a like a some kind of remembrance of, you know, the last call for the Sunset Strip. Mm-hmm. And at the time listening to it, I didn't know that that's what this was.
Right.
I just heard it and thought, man, I am about as far away from Los Angeles, California as you can humanly possibly get. You know, just feeling like here I am in the middle of Wisconsin. And I'm sure other people listening to Wasp and all these other bands that were kick-ass at that time, you know, whether you're from Ohio or whether you're from some other country or, you know, wherever.
Yeah.
It almost, I got to imagine to every so many other people, it also felt like I'm about as far away from the Sunset Strip as you could possibly
be. Way in Nashville at the time.
Right. So, you know, I know I'm not alone in these feelings, but it's songs like that and so many different songs by Wasp over the years that took the majesty and the mystique of the Sunset Strip and turned it into something that you could hear with your ears and imagine with your mind while you listen to it. And this is another song that does that. So many, that's just a good key to great songwriting, and Blackie Lawless has got that. You can listen to these Wasp songs, and like I've said throughout the episode, you can see them in your head too. And that's why I love Wasp so much. So enjoy this little trip to LA. It's time machine style. It's Blackie Lawless and Wasp with Sunset and Babylon.
Just a little bit west of old Pasadena is the place I go. I call it home for me. Call it what you will. Tinseltown for real. It's the open net where the debut.
Let you in.
that sounds like some kick-ass classic Wasp, and I loved it at the time.
And that song was just kind of out of nowhere for the time.
In 1993, you know, and what's going on in the music scene in 93, and for me to hear that, it's like, fuck yeah, you know, I'm not letting this stuff go. I don't care what everybody else says is popular, and I don't care how many people say, like you said earlier, oh man, we're going to listen to Wasp? This was the age of Alice in Chains and Soundgarden and stuff. Nobody really seemed to give two shits about Wasp.
No, none of my friends did.
But I did.
I did too.
Damn right.
All right, well, this has been fun to do. I mean, I can't believe it took us this long to do a Wasp episode.
No, and now we got to figure out a reason to do another one because I'm all Wasp hyped up now.
Right. Let's get Blackie to do an Albums Unleashed with us.
Shit, yeah, man. Which album? That's going to be the problem. There's so many good
Kill,
ones.
Kill, Suck, Die, of course.
You know, that would be pretty interesting. Do you want? Can we talk about that for just a second?
About Kill, Fuck, Die?
Just for a second.
It sucks.
Because I think
end of discussion.
It does suck. Like I said, when that came out, man, I wanted so bad to like it because that was like that. That's after Sunset in Babylon.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's like it was basically a Marilyn Manson ripoff album, more or less.
Yeah.
But at that time, I was so revolted by the way I saw all my friends sheepishly be turned by what the media is telling you that is cool now, that I so bad wanted that new Wasp album to come out and kick so much ass that I felt like, man, at the time, being young and being naive, I guess, I felt like a new Wasp album that was really killer could turn it all around. Could, like, just wipe Nirvana and the Meat Puppets and all
that but I was hoping
off
for
the face of the earth
I was hoping
the power
for more
of
than
awesomeness.
More than a trend jump. And then when I was a day one buyer, and
me too.
And then it came out, and I was like, "What the fuck is he doing?" And I was pretty upset when that came out because
Chris Holmes
was
even back for that one.
Yeah, I know, but even he couldn't save it.
No,
I mean, I'm sure there's going to be response to this of people that love it, and that's great if you do.
Yeah, I would love to hear it. You know, comment when this gets posted on the Facebook.
Give us your top five.
Here's something I want to tell you guys real quick before we get to that last pick. We really, really love it when we put out the episode and then the episode gets like the official release on the Facebook and a lot of people like it. I know we get a ton of people that share it because they love to be geeks of the week. Right. But what we really, really love is when you guys talk about it, you know, tell us what you think are your top five Wasp songs. Tell us what you thought about Kill, Fuck, Die. You know, did you feel the same way we did? Were you really looking forward to it? And then it just wasn't what you thought it was, or is it the greatest thing you ever heard? You know, somebody out there has got to be a huge fan of that album. I would think they're weird, but they're out there.
I don't know if they let them on computers in the mental hospital. No, that's a Paul Stanley joke about the elder I stole. We'd love to hear feedback. What's your top five? It's more fun to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
So, go on the Facebook on this post and tell us what your top five are. Tell us how we're right or wrong about our picks.
Yeah, and tell us what Wasp means to you personally. Because, hey, we've been open with our feelings about Wasp.
Sure.
We haven't hidden our feelings about Wasp at all. We are in love with Wasp.
Yeah, so I've got one more pick to play. And this is definitely from an album that didn't do anything. This is from 1999.
I'm having so much fun with this. I'm thinking maybe at the last minute here we should turn it into our top 10 and just keep on going.
We probably could. But Hell Dorado came out. This was one of those tons of CMC releases that just completely flew under the radar. The majority of people had no idea it even came out.
This was a strange album, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good and a lot of kind of not so good.
That's what I have in my notes. It's a very mixed bag of material.
It's really mixed.
The strong stuff is really strong, and then the other stuff is ugh.
I love it when we do shows about bands and albums that I know so much about that I don't even need to take notes.
Right. And I didn't have to take many on this one, but this song at this time had a very personal meaning to me because all I'm going to say is at the time, this was the best smelling song in the Wasp catalog. I'll just leave it at that.
It's also my favorite song in this album.
This is from Hell Dorado. This is Cocaine Cowboys, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Hey! It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.